You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, brought to you by themortgagewarrior.com. Use home equity to reduce stress today. Call Steve at themortgagewarrior.com. It could save you thousands.
It's time to know your lane.
That's the only thing that I'm taking out of this from a positive standpoint, is I feel like I got some training in this
weekend. You did get some training. If you've shoveled four times, that's hard work.
The thing is, McDonald's at 2:30 in the morning on Saturday night probably didn't help.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
It's a holiday Monday, and you really took that to heart with your gear today.
So did our producer.
You were in, like, dad gear, or I don't know.
You know what this is?
It's
what
free
are they called?
Gear.
K-Way pants?
It's free gear. And those are K-Way.
The sweatshirt is
free. Windbreaker pants.
No, these are Lululemon pants.
No.
I'm telling you, I'll show you the tab. These are couch to 10K type of pants.
So you started?
I was on a couple of brisk walks this weekend.
Really?
I got out there.
With your kid?
Yes. But still, I got outside, man. I started walking around. I got some steps
nice.
In.
The weather was pretty nice.
It was very nice. Beautiful. This is not February. It feels like it's like early April, late March.
You know, God, does a Canadian love throwing a pair of shorts on if they can.
How many did you see?
Did you? You saw?
10 to 20.
I saw many, many.
I saw a guy yesterday jogging with no tarp on.
Yeah.
That's heroic.
Like, I expect it out of kids, right? Kids... That happens. You know, I saw a kid yesterday out skateboarding, had shorts and a t-shirt on. Remember when you were a kid, 12, 13, 14, you were waiting for a nice day to get out there, play hockey, basketball, whatever.
Right.
And you'd gear down. It didn't matter. But when you're in your 40s and you're walking down a main street in Toronto and you're in shorts or you don't have a shirt on and it's like 5 degrees.
That's just being a dink.
Yeah. You're trying way too hard. We get it. We all enjoy the weather.
I saw you tweet out. Last night, we see you with the shorts on.
Yeah. Like, they're out there, man. I told you a week and a half ago that blizzard, like, remember when all that snow came through and it was like minus 12, minus 14?
Yeah.
I'm at a Shoppers Drug Mart. There's a guy in shorts. Cargos.
But that's, just jumped in the car and said, I'm going to be in the car in Shoppers out. I get that.
But you're still
rationale.
Technically outside.
I know.
And you're in public. That's the point.
You're right.
You're in public. You're sending out a message.
You probably. Like, lazes around the house. That's his routine. That's his outfit, is his shorts. And the wife or girlfriend probably said, go get me some Advil.
Mm-hmm.
So he said, to hell with it. I'm not changing, and I'm just going to jump in the car, drive, run in, run out. I understand that, and I give him a little bit of leeway. The guy who's running outside with no tarp on, like, you're just inviting sickness. You're inviting the flu into your family.
See, I live in an area, all condos, Humber Shores, Park Lawn, Lakeshore area. And if the sun comes out, people are on the trails. Like, the restaurants were just rammed.
Which I like.
But
I
it's
appreciate
cold
that.
Coming off the water.
Right.
It was just, it was nice. And it was just, everybody comes out. And it's like a show. They're like, I'm going to put some gear on where I'm going to make a statement.
Well, this past weekend was NBA All-Star Weekend. Remember the All-Star Weekend last year when it was in Toronto and it was historically cold?
Yeah.
It was like, freezing.
Like with the wind chill, it was like minus 35 down by the water. I remember I went down to the exhibition grounds to do a couple of shows on the Saturday and the Sunday, I think it was. I couldn't believe how cold it was.
Yeah.
And there was nobody out. Like, and that's not Canadian, right? If it's minus weather, people are still out there. They're going to continue with their life. It's not like it is in June, July, and August. But people are still going to get out of their house and go do whatever they have to do. This was shutdown mode. There was nobody outside.
Yeah.
And now, fast forward a year, NBA weekend. It happens to be in New Orleans, but it's like 12, 13, 14 degrees.
Now,
so we could have sidestepped the stereotypes from all the NBA people who came up here and were like, it's a great city, but it's freezing cold.
Couldn't go anywhere.
Couldn't go anywhere. Couldn't do anything.
Now, let's get into this. Was the score like 198 to 189? Something ridiculous?
It's right there with the NHL as the dumbest All-Star game. Like, I don't even count the Pro Bowl. The NFL doesn't even count.
Well, it's probably on par with the NHL, where years ago, where it was Magic versus Michael or whatever it was a game to watch.
It used to be really fun. It would
now,
be cool.
Now with the slam dunk and they're jumping over people, and it just, it was a sideshow.
They don't even try. It's the Globetrotters against the Generals.
Steph Curry lied down on the floor, like as a joke, I guess. I just watched that, and I'm like, that's so corny.
Right.
Well,
no, it's
probably
terrible. It's awful.
Those guys have probably had a time and are just trying to get through the game.
It's the exact same thing as the All-Star game
in
the NHL.
You're right.
They're all hungover. They've all partied all weekend.
Yeah.
None of them really want to be there.
Right.
Or if they do want to be there, they want to be there for the Friday and the Saturday.
And Sunday they want to be on a plane out of there. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to get dressed and go out there and play.
Do you go with the narrative of the NHL, like the game is... Have an all-star weekend without a game? Would you be fine with that?
What if you reversed it, had the game on Friday night?
People would dust off Saturday morning.
You think?
I think so. You know the half-hearted guys,
Like if the game was in Florida, you think a guy's going to fly from L.A., play the Friday night, and then fly right back?
I don't know.
Depending on what he has going. But I see guys like Jagr and play the game and out. You know, that's the problem is the buildup. I get where you're coming. Have the game right off the hop. Then you can have a full weekend to yourself. You can have some media and have some fun on the Saturday and lead it into the Sunday. It's just, I don't know if there is an actual solution. We've been trying to reinvent the wheel there. What about just no game? Skills competition, a lot of fun. Maybe a fan fest, something like that, where people go and enjoy the... But nobody cares about the game.
Nobody cares. It's totally meaningless.
Even they've got a million bucks on the line.
No one cares who won, who lost. It doesn't matter, yeah.
They got $1 million, so it's 91 grand for each guy. And guys that are playing in that All-Star game, they don't...
Especially in the NBA.
We've gone to baseball as the only one that has any kind of matter that hasn't turned into a circus.
Right, and that's, I think, partially because pitchers, they still have to throw. They can't throw at 70 miles an hour. That's when they'll put themselves in danger of injury, right? You have to follow through. You have to actually perform. And if you're up there at bat, you're not just going to sit there and say, I'm not going to swing because it's the All-Star game.
Right.
It's as close as you can get to the real thing. But that last night was a bunch of guys at the Y playing basketball and messing around. And the same thing a couple of weeks ago in L.A. The NHL All-Star game's a joke.
It is.
That's what they are. There's no point in watching. There's no point in paying attention. The players don't care. And that's when it really changed, is maybe the players didn't care historically, but they felt obligated to at least put forth some sort of an impression as if they did. You know, maybe it was totally fraudulent. I don't know. Maybe in the 80s and 90s, these guys were just as hungover, just as partied, just as whatever. But for whatever reason, they felt, you know what, okay, we got to go out there and pretend like we really care about this. But that has been thrown completely out the window.
But the games were 12-11 back then. Like, that's the,
yeah, for
the
sure.
One thing, that the scores were still crazy.
But even during a regular season game in the NHL in 1986, it was
12-10. Yeah, it was 9-8.
Was closer to the real thing than it is today. But there's your hot All-Star talk. I mean, no one really cares. No one cares about the NHL All-Star game. No one cares about the NBA All-Star game.
People that are down there, I think, have had a time.
For sure.
Kate, the Baroness, is down there, is she not?
Yeah, Kate was down there. Yeah, she was Snapchatting and Instagramming.
Looks like she's enjoying herself, yeah.
Well, our boy Rod Black was down there, too.
And legend.
Hot Rod will join us at 6 p.m. today.
That.
Get an update.
What the hell do you think he was doing?
Apparently, he was partying with Charles Barkley.
Really?
It's Barkley's birthday today. So
what do you think that scene would be all about?
I hope he can't even talk
about it on the air, though.
Maybe we can get something out of him, like one story. Give us one story from the weekend that you generally wouldn't hook people up with.
I just want to say, what time?
What 6 time o'clock.
No, not for Rod. What time did you walk into your hotel? Was it a 5:30 a.m.? Was it a walk right to breakfast? Have you done that in Vegas where... You've left the tables at 5:30, 6 o'clock, and instead of going up to your room, you go right for brekkie,
and
then you go up to your room.
I've done that in Toronto, man. You don't have to go to Vegas for that
move. That's true. You've done that. The Thompson Hotel at 4:30 in the
morning.
Get
some brekkie.
I've been in a lineup at the Thompson Hotel at 3:30 in the morning. They've got a velvet rope.
That diner's outstanding.
I'm sorry,
though.
Yeah, the diner, not the hotel, the diner.
Really?
You don't like that diner?
How good can it be? I've stood in line, I told the people I'm with, not a chance.
I'm telling you, it's very good food.
It is very good food.
It takes you a long time, though. Yeah. You do go in there. I've been in there just like you guys, and you can wait 45 minutes for
just like Santa. That's a Hunge offering.
Yeah, you've got to. I don't disagree. If you're waiting in line and you've got some money at 3:30 in the morning and you've got a growl on, you got to pay to get to the front.
I've been waiting in line at the Thompson Diner to go and have waffles at 3:30 in the morning.
You couldn't find like a golden griddle or.
You know, I don't know what we had done. We had had a decent enough time downtown, and that was the place that was open.
Golden Griddle at 4 in the morning.
There is some. That's
you wouldn't believe what you would see in there. I've been in one where.
They're not open at 4 in the morning, a Goldie Griddle?
Oh, yeah. You get the there's one up on Eglinton Road, on Eglinton, Young and Eglinton, that it's open late. I've been in there 3, 4 in the morning. And, like, the pros come rolling through.
Yeah, I was just
going
to say, there's
what do you mean the pros?
Like, the pros. Like, Jarvis
ladies
makes
of
its
the
way
night.
Up to Eglinton.
The ladies of the night.
Like,
the
you get in there.
Maybe we should have a prep meeting one night.
You're sitting in there having breakfast at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
And at one table, ladies of the night. Another table, just some random guy who's probably starting his day.
Yeah, it's a scene.
A TTC bus driver's
and then
pulled
you
in.
And your six buddies just goon.
It's the weirdest scene on earth. Same thing on Spadina. You go for like late night Chinese.
Is it Franz? Mm-hmm. There's a place when I first moved to Toronto, I lived at the Pantages Hotel, and on the corner was a Franz.
Yeah, oh yeah.
That's a late.
Franz is open, or historically it's been open 24/7.
Yeah, I've been there. Late.
Yeah, Franz can cook up a brekkie
for
buddy,
you. With our buddy Jamal Mayers. And I think Chaser was there, too.
Nice. Yeah, I'm a supporter of Franz, absolutely.
Good food. But, yeah, those are late-night establishments.
You got to have them.
And that's where
they're scattered throughout the city. You got to find out where you got to go.
So Rod Black is probably at a Waffle House at 5:30 in the morning, then going to shut it down.
So we'll get to Rod at about 6 o'clock. Ray's coming up today at 5. Dreger will be on the show in the 6 p.m. hour. The Leafs took 2 of 4 points over the weekend.
It
kind of disappointing because on Saturday night, you know, I'll probably approach this glass half full, but on Saturday night that was a frustrating loss because you storm back from being down 2-0 and then you're up 3-2 in the third with, 15 minutes to go?
You got to win that game.
You got to close the game out. You have to.
Point.
Yeah, or at least get a point.
You're right.
For sure.
It's
got to be a situation where you find a way to get a point. And not only did they not get a point, they gave up the lead within like 4.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And you could just feel it coming. And I tweeted out that it was the vets that caused me the most heartburn watching that game on Saturday night. Even though Kadri and Riley both scored, and someone pointed this out, well, they scored. True. But scoring goals has not been an issue for this team this year. What has been the issue and what has been the focal point is how do you close out a game in the third period? Right. And Morgan Riley, without any pressure, a lazy wraparound that everyone in the rink saw coming, including Erik Karlsson, tic-tac-toe, it's on Hoffman's stick, back of the net. And Kadri, you can complain about the calls, and I didn't love the officiating in general really over the weekend, certainly not on Saturday night, but that's a hold. Yeah. He held the guy 200 feet from his net.
200 feet from his net.
12 seconds later, Brassard scores. And those are the vets in the third period. You cannot have that.
He plays an aggressive game, and that sometimes comes back to bite him.
But it's all about the timing, knowing the situation of the game.
Exactly.
And when, you should never do that kind of stuff, but that situational awareness, it's like, no.
You can't have it.
No.
You can't have it.
A rookie can't do it. A vet can't do it. You can't do it at any time of the game. But at those particular times of the game, it's just unacceptable.
You storm back. The building was rocking after Nylander scored.
Yeah.
And then 4.5 minutes later, you blew the lead.
Yeah.
But glass half full. You roll into Carolina last night, and Curtis McIlhenny played extremely well. He was brilliant in the first period and certainly parts of the second. Once they got rolling in the third, it was over pretty quickly.
Yeah, it was over after that.
But you got to give credit to Curtis McIlhenny because he didn't play that well in Columbus. But overall, he's been exceptional for this team since they claimed him off waivers. And
good on the guy, man. He's just like an old school battler in there. It doesn't exactly look pretty sometimes.
33-year-old goaltender.
He reminds me of Noodles. Just a guy that goes out there and gets the job done.
Right.
I mean, he is, I think, a better goaltender than I was. But I mean, I'm just talking about him getting the job done. That's what he has been asked to do by the Toronto Maple Leafs, and so far he's done a very good job. And I don't think there's that nervousness with him in there? He's at least earned a little bit of credit from the group, like from the fan base, from the organization, built up a little bit of credit.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. I mean, that's nice. I still think you're Anderson's your guy, and your McElhinney in these back to backs is going to spell him, but you're not thinking, okay, just no. Throwaway game. Like, this guy can give you points.
That was it's not a must win, but that was a big game last
night. It was.
Because of what happened the night before, and everyone continues to win around them. Florida goes through California and sweeps the California teams.
That used to be the death row.
California made it look easy. Yeah. Boston wins last night in San Jose in
4-0
overtime.
4-0 since the coaching change.
Boston's on fire right now. They're 4-0, like you said. Florida's, I think, won 4-0 or 4 in a row, and they're like 7-2-1 in their last 10.
Yeah.
Like, Florida's chasing. They're a point back of the Leafs. Boston's a point up. The Leafs have a game in hand. Now Toronto's right in the mix with 6-7 different teams, and there's a few different spots up for grabs because the Habs lost again over the weekend.
Yep.
And they didn't look good.
That Saturday game.
They didn't look good.
Are we going to get to a point where maybe we're going to say maybe Montreal's just not that good?
I got to see them play better, though. Their group. Like, Carey Price is better. Shea Weber's better. Radulov's better. Like,
does Julian have enough time, though, to get it out of them?
I think it's the players. The coach can't go, hey, you know what? Radulov, we need to play better tonight. He's got to go out there and within a system, within a little bit of structure, they know how to play hockey. I think
he's one of the least of their problems.
No, I'm not, he's the wrong guy I'm talking about. But Gallagher, Galchenyuk.
What about guys like Plekanec?
Plekanec has been invisible this year, and it wouldn't surprise me. That's where Bergevin's probably working the phones. Like, he needs
luck at $6 million moving that guy.
No, you're not going to move him, but you can bring somebody in.
Well, listen, I still think they'll find a way to get in, but you got to give them you have to, at the very least, understand why they're concerned and maybe why the coaching change took place. And I felt pretty good about Ottawa considering the way they responded, but now they've got injuries in Stone and
man, they got four guys,
Hoffman and Ryan.
Bobby Ryan hurts his finger Saturday night, so he's out for 3-6. So Ryan hasn't had a great season. So you're thinking, okay, they can in-house take care of that.
Mm-hmm.
Mark Stone is the one that's concerning because he has been their catalyst.
He's a big, big player.
He's. I mean, there's a stat from his January on in the last 2 years. He's over a point a game, 1.09, I think it is. And it is like it's almost like when the games get bigger and harder, this is a guy that's there.
He's a winger that drives a line. He drives offense. He changes games.
If he's out for any extended length of time, that's a massive blow. Mike Hoffman seems to be battling a nagging injury, so that's not good. And then they lost. I know he's not a massive player, but he's a good acquisition in Tommy Wingles. He got that Bufflin. I'll tell you what, it's in watching him. And I mean, we've watched Winnipeg play a lot, but I forgot how big that team is. Like Wheeler's big, Laine's big, Buff is big.
Shifley's a big boy.
Shifley, Lowry. Like this team is Trouba. They're all giants. Mm-hmm. That team is massive, and they can move, too. Like, I think Winnipeg's a team. I don't think they'll make the playoffs this year, but I think as they get more experience and they've got a young team, Josh Morrissey's 21. Like, I was looking at their roster yesterday and going, yeah, this guy's 20, 21, 18, like 19, well, and thinking 2 years from now, they're kind of like Maple Leafs and Edmonton. Like they're going to be one of those teams that's going to be right there.
And they're 2-for-2 on this Eastern Canadian trip right now, but I can't imagine Jacob Trouba plays tomorrow because that was an ugly hit to the head.
That's a couple games.
That's got to be at least a couple games. And Stone, again, is injured. He left the game. If he's concussed again, he's had concussion problems. We'll find out more on that. But that's the beauty of the race right now is you leave that game Saturday night thinking, okay, Ottawa's 5-up. They got a game in hand. That might be it. The Leafs won't be able to catch them. Then they lose the next day in regulation. The Leafs win. The Leafs are back to being 3-back, and Ottawa's got all these injury problems.
Right.
And you presume Marner will be back tomorrow night. No guarantees, but we'll see. And it's just one of those years, man. There's a lot of games left, and there's 6-7 different teams that are in this.
Would you sign off on the last wild card spot right now?
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was the hypothetical we had 2 or 3 weeks ago. I think you probably have to because of what the teams around the Leafs have done.
I would.
That's a change for you, isn't it?
It is.
It is. Just because, it is. Like you say, the. But
well, I didn't see Boston and Florida taking off the way that they're taking off.
Florida got healthy. Boston obviously had to make the change. I think they're all in that same boat. And it's going to come. We're going to be having this conversation the last week of the season. And we're going to be looking at who plays who and how much points. And I think we're going to be 2 or 3 points separating everyone. Same type of thing down the stretch here into the that last part of the last 2 weeks of the season.
Without question.
Which is exciting.
And that's why it would be great. I know Habs fans don't want to hear this, but if they kept losing, make everything interesting.
Well, it's
because they've been so far gone the whole year, no one's even paid attention to them. If they keep losing games and keep dragging themselves back into the pack,
they're in the mix.
You could see a crazy formula play out in the Atlantic Division, let alone that second wild card spot, which the Leafs currently hold down. But the Islanders have been hot since their coaching change.
Right.
Philly, you know, they won last night in Vancouver. They're in the mix at the very least. So, you got 6, 7, 8
Islanders,
teams fighting for the same two or three spots. It's going to be a great run.
It is. There are a few teams that have separated themselves. Outside of that, everyone is – it's the dogfight.
It's redonk to think that Ottawa is 2 points behind Montreal.
And
with
last
two
night
games
they
in hand.
Last night they – I mean, they had this
I
want
to know the separation at one particular point, how far it was. It must have been close to 20.
Probably 8 or 10.
No? Oh, at least
More than that.
They started 13-1-1.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are you going to – so – at the start of the season, the Habs were ahead of everyone. But at some point when the season settled down, it'd be nice to see. Well, we can go back and look mid-November or December 1st. What did it look like? That's what we should do.
Oh, I'll bet you they were at least double digits.
Yeah, like
we'll look it up. But it wouldn't surprise me if they were 12-13 points up on Ottawa on the lead. Because again, I didn't even pay attention to Montreal.
No, they were gone.
They were so far gone. There wasn't even a point in paying attention to
them. We wrote everybody off, the top three teams in the Metro and Montreal, saying, "Okay, you made it.
See you later.
You're gone.
Thanks for coming out."
Columbus got that same push because of the 16-0.
And New York's played themselves into it.
Yeah.
So really, the only four you feel comfortable with are the top four in the Metro.
Right.
Right? Washington, Pittsburgh, Columbus, New York are all going to get in. I think we all feel pretty comfortable about that.
No question.
Beyond that, you know, again.
Crapshoot.
It's a crapshoot in terms of how everything is going to play out.
And now you're sitting there going, does Tampa have enough to, you know, are they, they're hovering. And that goal by Drouin
last night was something else.
That's the goal of the year, no question.
This guy's ridiculous. Like, it's amazing to think of how far he's come, considering where he was pretty much this time last year, where he took his net and his stick and went home. And Yzerman was this close to trading him. Do you imagine?
Well, think about what's happened with Tampa in general.
Yeah.
Drouin ends up sticking around. Stamkos sticks around for a big deal, but gets injured. He's done all year, and they're probably the most disappointing team in the league.
Yeah, I would
considering what the expectations were.
Out east, for me, it's Tampa. Out west, it's Dallas. As far as expectation levels, I mean, is there anybody that's
I kind of expected Dallas to take a step back. They've taken 4 or 5 back.
Yeah.
But I thought coming into the year.
Playoff team, though.
Washington, Pittsburgh, Tampa were my three locks in the east to make the playoffs. Like, there's no way you could have sold me on Tampa not making the playoffs. Not a chance.
Well, you could never predict Steven Stamkos going down again either.
And Bishop.
Yeah, but he hasn't played that well either, even when he's been healthy, right?
That's a thing.
Well, speaking of health, did you hear, I'm sure Noodles, you did, Guy Boucher postgame?
Mm-hmm.
This guy is something else, man. I like his attitude and his approach to things, and he's intense behind the bench, man.
He
gets after his players. And he had a quote back when he was in Tampa, one of my favorite quotes. I doubt we can find it anymore. But it was just such a Bond villain intensity. And he was asked post-game about the injuries and if he can give them a breakdown. And I swear he doesn't panic.
Yeah.
You want to hear it?
Yeah, let's hear it.
I mean, right now it looks like a disaster, and we'll see tomorrow, and maybe the disaster is not as bad as we think. But right now, I'd rather be ready for anything.
I think he's the only coach in the league that would say that. It looks like a disaster.
Yeah.
I don't know if we'll lose another game. I don't know if we'll win again all year.
Like,
it's an absolute disaster. I'm freaking out. I got a bottle of scotch at home, and I'm getting loaded tonight because I can't handle this.
All of that, too.
Scotch.
All of that. Plus, I think that was a goal last night. That could have been a goal.
I don't disagree with you, but
It was inconclusive, and it's funny. I saw a tweet last night, and I thought it was pretty bang on. Isn't that what video replay is trying to – that's what it's brought in for, is to be conclusive.
Exactly. And why do you have replay if it's inconclusive?
Why do you have replay if the offside in Minnesota just flies by? That was ridiculous.
There was a couple things. Over the weekend, it's funny, in warm-up, Craig Anderson leaned over to me because he wasn't starting, and we were just kind of BSing. He said, did you see James Neal hit Devin Dubnyk last night? And I said, no, actually, I hadn't because I was traveling, and go back and watch it. And on it was on Subban's goal, and Neal goes through. He goes, the head got picked there. He goes, Dubnyk's lucky he didn't get pulled out of the game for a concussion protocol.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting. All the players are aware of what's going on too, and it wasn't good on the league, the optics, because when the ref has to come back and says, we got nothing for you.
We don't know what to tell you.
No goal, game over.
Mm-hmm.
And the fans, Boucher was livid. And
he wasn't happy anyway. And no. He wanted Trouban kicked out. And I think that comment was to the benefit of the league. Hey, throw the book at Trouba and make sure you take that into consideration. But
well, that should have been. Is that
a disaster.
That brings into the other question is, should penalties be reviewable?
No. Don't even start. I don't want anything reviewable. I'm not going down this slippery slope.
Because
you can't. Where do you draw the line?
Night, right?
Yeah, I know that.
I'm
but
not defending Ottawa.
Then hooks
saying.
And trips
right.
And
right.
Everything gets reviewed. And then
what about
we
the
don't
other night,
anymore.
The garbage penalty shot call? They could review it and say.
But that's what I'm saying.
My bad. Center ice. Dropped the puck.
It wasn't just. I'm not. That's
but it can
not
go both ways. I mean, it. You don't want. You can't do that.
Well,
you can't. Because then you don't know where to stop.
You're right. And the refs do a good job. They miss things. They're human.
It happens. I got labeled the troll over the weekend. I didn't even mean to be trollish. I didn't even have that intention. I'll tell you about that. And the importance of Austin Matthews and winning that lottery really getting highlighted. We'll get into that conversation. And what's up with Josh Donaldson down in Dunedin? Banged up.
Calf.
Not a good start for spring training. For the bringer of rain. This is Overdrive on a family day holiday Monday. All right, we got a poll question up on Twitter at Overdrive1050. Who is the biggest threat for the Maple Leafs to make the playoffs? Now, this is more about the second wildcard spot that they currently hold down. The Panthers, the Islanders, or the Flyers? Today's Overdrive poll question was brought to you by Colt Hockey. Reinvent your game with the stick that'll last three times longer than your regular composite. Colt Hockey, designed by hockey players for hockey players. Visit the website at colthockey.com.
Bit of breaking news. We do have a trade to announce.
Yeah. Michael Stone.
Michael Stone from Arizona to Calgary.
Wow. It's a big move.
We have a trade to announce.
It's interesting, too, because
takes away from trade deadline.
It does. Wow.
Every deal just breaks your heart a little bit more.
Let's have your breakdown.
Mine
bit
more
piece?
Than yours.
Bit piece?
Bit piece.
Bit piece has a little bit of upside.
We should define what a bit piece means.
Side piece.
Third line and lower. Fifth defenseman and lower, and backup goaltender. Would you
say? Yeah, I would
is
say
that
so.
A good definition?
But even based by the price, like third rounder and up,
yeah.
Middling prospect and worse equals
right.
Bit piece. Anyway.
There's a couple bit pieces. I think I've been traded for bit pieces, or I was the bit piece.
Hey, man. You played in the league.
Yeah.
You were there, buddy.
Been a bit piece a few times.
That's all that matters. All right, I was accused of trolling Leaf fans over the weekend. I finally got to feel what it's like to be on the opposite side.
Why? What did you do?
I'll tell you about the tweet that was totally innocuous, totally meaningless and innocent and nothing.
Did you take it down?
And no, of course not. And Leaf fans freaking out about it. We'll get to that in 2 minutes. Now, I try to avoid tweeting during Leaf games. Sometimes it gets carried away.
Wrong. You always tweet during Toronto sporting events?
I generally...
You actually live tweet them.
No, I don't actually. I've gotten away from that. I used to be way worse. I'll admit that. Like, I would tweet goal or icing, like strikeout, like as if it was totally necessary for me to keep people up to date. I would tweet 25 times during a game. I don't do that anymore.
No, because you watch the game. That's the thing.
I'm watching the game, and I realize other people are watching.
Right.
You know, I'll chime in on big moments. And last night, I actually tweeted about Zach Hyman and one of his shifts basically playing like Happy Gilmore when he had those two breakaways in the third. And I mean that from a complimentary standpoint, because Happy worked his ass off, right? Like, Happy wanted to be great.
Right.
But when Hyman was in the net, first of all, he takes Nylander's puck off the head.
Right.
And then he tries to smack it, throw it in with his hand.
Well, it was already in.
It was in. Oh, yeah, it was definitely in. But it hit him off the head, and then he tried to, like, pat it in with his hand, which is a very Happy Gilmore move.
Yeah, he's just trying to
do whatever he can to help the team win.
Exactly.
But I was watching the Jets-Habs game on Saturday, and Laine had 2 points, including, I believe, the empty netter to close the game.
Yeah.
And I tweet out very innocently, Laine with 2 more points, the Calder race should be special down the stretch.
And that's the truth.
You would think I tweeted out, Matthews is a bum, the Leafs should trade him right now for bit pieces. The way Leaf fans reacted. They were so sensitive to the fact that I could even consider Laine.
Well, what did you think you were going to get? This comparison, this whole deal has been going on since the draft.
And it's going to for years to come, because I watched Laine last night. He's a hell of a player. I watched the Leaf game after the Ottawa game. Matthews, hell of a player.
And Matthews' goal last night was unbelievable. Yeah. We still haven't mentioned that. That was
But there's nothing wrong with two great players in the league.
Right.
Sid and Ovi.
Exactly. And guess who won the Calder in Sid and Ovi's year?
Ovi.
Yeah.
Sid had 100 points, played center. Ovi won it because he scored 50 and had more points. And listen, I've made my statements on this show many times. You know where I stand on this. Mm-hmm. Matthews, I believe, is the better player today. I believe will be the player long term. And I would take him every single day of the week over Laine. And I think when you look at the situation in Toronto right now, with Ben Smith playing minutes, Bozak doing what he's doing right now, where he's kind of faded away without Marner, it makes it that much more incredible that they won the lottery, and important that they won the lottery. And anyone looking back on it now saying they should have taken Laine, no, they shouldn't have taken Laine, because they have Marner, they've got Nylander, they've got other wingers that are going to produce.
It's a perfect fit
they
for both
organizations. They needed a center badly, and that's exactly what they got with Matthews. But it is still a race.
It is.
If I were to vote tonight, I think I would give it to Matthews, and I mean that genuinely, even though people are going to claim bias, and that's fine. I would still give it to Matthews. But if Laine continues to put up, he was the first star of the week this week in the NHL.
Here's another thing.
Guys, he's an incredible player, an incredible talent.
Have you factored in, this is something that Chris Cuthbert and I were in the car chatting about yesterday. Do you think Marner and Matthews could cancel a little bit of the voting out to the point where maybe that's what gives Laine the edge? Because Mitch Marner has to be considered in there as well. So if you have people that are voting.
Well, the factor's three of them. Even
you're right.
Nylander is kind of on the outside, but.
Well, and Matt Murray and Zach Werenski. Those would be my five, with Marner, Matthews, and Laine, Murray, and Werenski. But let's just say it's Marner, Matthews, and Laine. Not every person is just going to choose Auston Matthews, especially from this market when you've watched Mitch Marner dominate games too. So it's an interesting, it could be a bad problem for Auston Matthews, because Mitch Marner could actually take votes off of him.
He might. I mean, I think you got to take that into consideration, but because I guess the argument would be, well, how can Matthews win it when I think Marner was the better Leaf?
And you know there's going to be somebody who's voting that's going to be thinking outside the box or trying.
I don't think you can this year. There's no, there is no outside the box.
I think outside the box would probably be considering Werenski or Murray. I think those are the outside the box votes now.
Okay, but what I'm
saying, if someone throws one at Matthew Tkachuk, I understand what you're saying, and it's something that's been brought up before. that if you're looking it over and you say, I can't differentiate between who's the best rookie on the Leafs, let alone,
right,
you know,
no,
who, should end up with that top spot.
Not slide to line A, just say, I'm going to choose Matthews and somebody else chooses Marner.
Right. That's true, but if that's happening, those votes aren't going to line A. I think there's more risk at saying, I don't know who to choose between these two, so considering they're so close, I might have to go with line A because I know he is.
Okay, yeah.
I don't know if that makes sense either, that logic, but I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I just think that if it's clear-cut, like it's Matthews or line A or somebody else, then you're going, okay, well, it's Matthews or line A, but Mitch Marner has earned every right to be there too.
He does.
And as far as Trouba's concerned, he ultimately got two games, which you guys both said that. I think he's going to get – doesn't that shock you a little bit?
I thought he'd get more than that.
No kidding. Like, you want to get rid of headshots and plays like that and all the concussions and all the – he ultimately gets two games.
Well, the problem I have with that is if Stone's out a month, that's what's concerning. If Stone's back this week – then,
but even if he came back, Noodles, that's a bad hit, man. Like he had given the puck off, he dishes the puck off,
but it wasn't,
and then
late.
He's skating towards the net. It wasn't necessarily late, but he was, and I'm not a guy that loves talking about head hits all the time because I think it's gotten to a point where we overanalyze everything. It can be bad radio, quite frankly. Because I think people are like, all right, you've been talking about it for 5 years.
Exactly,
we get it.
That.
It's an important thing that people have to address. So I don't think you can accuse us of being a show that talks about this very often.
Right.
But this one featured two prominent names, two prominent players. I thought it was worse than two games. Like, I thought that was a bad hit.
It was the prototypical when they say, you know, what was the principal point? Well, it was the head.
Yeah.
And it was bad. So how does it be, how is it two games?
First time offender. I don't
There's
know.
Always an explanation. Yeah. That's
There's
the thing. It's with Nyquist. Well, I think he tried to get a stick over
but
his head.
The
There's
is
always
you're never
an explanation.
The thing is, you're never going to get it right. There's always going to be somebody that bitches. He gets four games, somebody's going to be like, that's not enough. He should have been 20. I saw idiots on Twitter thinking that Nyquist should have been suspended for the rest of the year. But that's.
But so, does it ever go the opposite way, though? Does it ever get to a point where, like, wow, I can't believe they gave him that much? I can't remember reacting
Torres
that way.
One.
Yeah, but Raffy was an outlaw. Like Raffy had put himself in a position.
Raffy was.
He was.
He was a dangerous player.
Raffy had put himself in that spot.
But like that one, I thought 25 was really rich. I thought.
Was that the Hossa hit?
Yeah, and I still think Hossa had his head down.
He did have his
Get
head.
Get your
down.
Head up in the middle of the ice.
Yeah, it was somewhere between 25 games and, as Nasher said, the cleanest hit you'll ever see. It was somewhere in the middle.
That is the problem doing color.
I hear you, man.
That's the first thing I thought about last night.
You're making a statement regarding the play, and you're living with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, I knew right away it was a head hit, but I couldn't tell. This is what worries me about head hits. Torey Krug got nothing on Andrew Shaw. Now, that was the principal point of contact was Andrew Shaw's head. But Andrew Shaw's head had changed locations because he was reaching for the puck. So his head had come down. So that's something you have to go factor in. Mm-hmm. So right away when I saw the hit, I was like, I didn't like it. But in my mind, I'm going through all these protocols. Like, okay, is the head principal point of contact? Is it laid? Is it blindside? Like all of these things. And I'm saying, I don't like the hit. But I'm more concerned because Mark Stone lays down on the ice. He actually didn't get up. And
he was out. And he didn't come back. He left the game.
Yeah, like he actually laid down and tried to get his senses together instead of getting up and stumbling around if he was off balance. So it's just interesting. Two doesn't seem like enough, but if you're an Ottawa Senators fan, two doesn't mean anything because they felt they should have had a five-minute major, and you're still going to be missing Mark Stone for how long?
Right, and Winnipeg plays in the Western Conference. It's not
anything.
Like it's a guy on the Habs
exactly.
Or Toronto or Boston. Rays coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll get into Josh Donaldson and his injury, Boogie Cousins being traded from Sacramento to New Orleans, and what Vladdy had to say, the GM, about why he took this trade over other trades that apparently were on the table. I don't think this is necessarily the smartest comment you'll ever hear out of a GM's mouth. It's actually quite astonishing. We'll play that in the 5 p.m. hour. We'll hit the Grit Grinder next.
And now it's time for the 40-30 low center of gravity grit player of the game.
I'm a professional grinder.
We do have a little grit and grind when we reach in our pants and pull it out.
All right, time now for the Grit Grinder. Looking back on the weekend, lots of potential material.
I'm going to go with Connor Brown. Couple goals against the Canes. Grit grinding goals.
He was flying through the neutral zone last night.
Great passes by JVR, too.
Good speed.
JVR needed a bounce back. He did nothing on Saturday night.
He had a good game.
Where are you going?
I'll go with the four legends that are up on Legends Row now, including our boy Wendell Clark.
Yes.
Charlie Conacher, Red Kelly, the big M, Frank Mahovlich.
We're going to complain about who didn't make
it? We're going to talk about who's not on Legends Row to kick off the 5 p.m. hour.
Okay, I'll go Curtis McIlhenny. I thought he was outstanding last night, gave them a chance to win, and the Leafs responded with four support goals.
It was a big win.
Yeah.
They needed that. McIlhenny was brilliant last night. Rays coming up. Vlade Divac on the trade and why he maybe could have made a better trade. And
who?
Vlade.
Vlade Divac.
Vlade Divac.
Divac.
Wait, can someone tweet us the actual, because I think you say his last name, Vlade Divac. You just said Divac.
Divac.
Like it's some sort of sausage or something.
You said, first of all, off the break, you said Divac. Like you had a hard C.
A hard C with maybe a soft S on the end.
There's no such thing.
It's not Divac.
I'm telling you.
I guarantee you.
All right, we'll get some audio. Get a highlight reel of Vlade. All right?
Vlade Divac. I'm going with Divac.
Right. I think there's an S in there.
Yeah. Noodles Divac knows where it's at. And Donaldson down for the count to kick off spring training. This is Overdrive TSN 1050.